Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and... Oh, fuck me sideways. Blockbuster's gonna start selling NFTs, aren't they? And with me, I have...
I come to you with the power of $15 RGB light strips from Target. It actually works pretty well. I'm actually impressed.
And
the moral story today is, kids, is don't buy some social notes for $20.
What? What are you talking about? I've always wanted botulism for $20. That's a steal.
Go into that rabbit hole of pink sauce. Is like, you okay? I guess we'll make some new shit, but you do realize you're trying to sell it like you should, don't sell it like a regular package. Like, it's something that needs, refrigeration, making sure it don't, spoil or expire, or cause you to, make you shit a lot in a bad way, or, making your stomach upset. Yeah, and the thing is, they posted, the show posted agrees, it's like, I made my own shit of this. Like, people just say, fuck, I made my own shit.
Yeah, don't forget about posting where you literally admitted that you didn't wait for FDA approval before selling this for money. AKA admitting to a crime and posting it on YouTube. With publicly available evidence that even if you delete off your page, I'm pretty sure the authorities have way to pull that from the back end.
That's a bad move there. Which is why we're going to do all right, because we saw a blue sauce coming up to become next month.
Yeah, it's a combination of riot juice and fight milk.
As it should be. We're going to be fucking rich.
Yeah.
Even go slow with our new rum ham.
Telling you, we're gonna make so much bank off of this. And apparently we don't have to abide by regulations, so we'll save even more money in the long run.
No.
This won't bite us.
The only thing we have to worry about is if Disney is gonna go take us down for copyright infringement.
Oh shit, that's right.
We can find a way around that.
I keep forgetting where Sunny is now. Technically owned by Disney.
Yes. My favorite Disney princess, Danny DeVito. But anyway, here we are, episode 275. So, how's everyone's week been going?
It's been a little more exciting than usual. So, brief anecdotes. I'm a wrestling fan. Don't ask why. Friday was a momentous day because the Botox Crypt Keeper himself, Vince McMahon, finally went away. And all it took was him spending $14.6 million in hush money for sexual coercion.
Oh.
And counting, because they're still doing investigations at that company. And apparently the SEC is getting involved, so that ought to be fun. And I celebrated that momentous occasion. By going to see that new Jordan Peele movie, Nope, in IMAX. It was good time. Very freaky time. Very fun time. No spoilers, but I will tell you two things. One, everything revolves around a sitcom chimp. And two, Keke Palmer does the Akira slide. It's amazing.
Now that's what I call cinema.
Yep.
Indeed, it is certainly cinema in every way. Yeah, thinking IMAX is very good. It's a beautifully shot film, especially in the closing sequence. Mm-hmm. And this past Sunday, I had a hell of a day, so I had to stay at my work until 4:15. There's a wrestling show happening here in the city on Sunday that starts at 5. So I had to rush home. My work is 12 miles away from my house. I made it home in 14 minutes, dropped off my bag, washed up, got some water, and Went to the venue. Took me about 20 minutes to get there. Somehow I made it on time.
Woohoo!
Yeah, bit of a slight rush to get there on time because I'm very pertinent about that kind of stuff. But I did it! And I had a dang good time. Here's hoping that more shows happen around here in the next couple months, because I would like to go to more shows and have good times. Preferably with good shows, not, you know, bad shows, because I don't want to waste my time going to a bad show or a bad movie.
Hear, hear.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Mark, what about you?
Well, you see, like Alex, I also saw Nope, but not at IMAX. I saw it at regular-ass theater because I can afford.
To be clear, I didn't have a choice because the theater around the corner from my house had been closed for over a week for HVAC renovation, so I had to go 20 miles up to the next one available.
Oh, okay. Then, okay, I guess because you had no choice. All right. But yeah, like I said, the movie's pretty dope, pretty good. And yes, this thing, yeah, I'm not going to spoil because to say something about this movie is spoilery. Like, yeah, this thing's more than, you know, sitcom chimps. And yeah, yes, that's something for Kiki Palmer is cool. Yes, very much. And yeah, man, I kind of feel like when I watch the whole movie, it's like, damn, I feel like I can like the Dan Kaluuya's character. It's like, we gotta see it. But yeah, pretty good movie. And yes, even though, like, when it started, like, oh, well, the movie was just like, I'm in the movie theater, right? Like, when the movie start, you're thinking, oh, Universal, okay. And then you say, wait, why is Cinema copied? Oh, that's right.
Fucking Christopher Nolan had to get his shit in after 20 minutes of trailers because it's just so fucking special.
It turns out the trailer for his new movie Oppenheimer, which the trailer is no theater exclusive for about a week. So that's the reason why that's showing up there. So yeah.
Cinema.
I keep getting Josh Peck also in there, which that's kind of strange. Josh Peck in a Christopher Nolan movie.
Well then, I guess he had to graduate to real cinema eventually.
Yeah, I mean he's doing his career is somewhat good, aside from the other person he hung out with.
Oh yeah, didn't he like escape to Mexico to duck some charges or something? I think, I don't know. Do I look like Drake's keeper? Well, other Drake's keeper.
Yeah.
That's just what we call Drake.
And I also mentioned that. It's a good day to, you know, someone black to feel like, oh yeah, that's some good shit. Well, the second thing that make Badu feel emotional that day. Hey, you know what I'm talking about.
Wait, do I?
Black Panther Wakanda Forever trailer.
Oh, shit, right.
Yeah.
I almost forgot that Comic-Con was this weekend. Well, this past weekend, rather.
There was some shit to be emotional. Yeah, I mean, of course there'll be some emotional shit going on there, which... I mean, you know the story already, good to see that. November. I almost forgot it was coming this year, to be honest. But yeah.
And as for me, I am still the one person here that has not yet seen Nope. I really need to make it a priority to get out to the theater. There's a bunch. I still haven't. I gotta plan this out, because I haven't seen Black Phone, I haven't seen Marcel, I sort of want to go see Thor, and then there's definitely Nope. So, I'm not quite sure how many of those will still be available, but I'll have to make a plan. Nothing else really going on in my life otherwise, so, let's, move on from those intro formalities to, of course, the meat of this podcast, where we, of course, start with the new song discussions for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description so you can follow along with us and pick up some new tunes for your playlist and mark your calendars for some new albums. Anyway, this first song here, well, okay, there's a bit of background here, and since it was brought to my attention by Alex here, it's probably best for him to get the ball rolling here.
Yeah, just a note, this is a very metal and metal-adjacent heavy week, so Mark, you get to take a breath for a little while.
Yay!
All right, so starting things off here, here's something interesting. It has been 20 years since Lacuna Coil's seminal album Comalize was released. And instead of going down the path of a remastered or remixed anniversary release, they're instead doing a, the quote is, deconstructed and transported version of the album in full, i.e. what 2022 Lacuna Coil sounds like playing these songs. And we have the first track released for this project called Comalize XX, Tightrope XX, because Roman numerals, duh.
So that's just going to be how they title like every song, I suppose? Everything is a double X?
Yeah, to differentiate it from the original version. And it's a testament to how good of an album Comalize is, because the song is very tight. Both Andre's harsh vocals and Christina's commanding chorus leads shine through with the more modern instrumental approach. Even if the drums sound a little modern metal-ish for my liking. And just for curiosity's sake, I went and listened to the original version. It does have a lot of 2002 alternative metal vibes to it in its sound, while the new version is more aggressive and faster-paced. And comparing the two, you can hear a sharp difference with where their sound has shifted to over the years. But I do think it's pretty neat that there's going to be two different approaches to these songs now, but please don't change a whole lot to Heaven's a Lie. That song is already perfect.
All right, noted. Yeah, so I just want to cite another quote here, one directly from Christina Scabbia, who said, and I quote, "This is not a reboot or a spinoff or anything like that. We just wanted to give these songs a 2022 dress and see how this guy or girl who was born 20 years ago would still look fucking slick in 2022. Okay, so not a reboot, not a spinoff. Silent Hill HD collection.
So this is going to be a lot better than that, just by default.
Probably. Now, I'll admit, I don't follow Lacuna Coil too closely, so I did have to listen to the original song before jumping into this one, and yeah, that original song is some pretty, like, definitively early 2000s alternative metal, nothing overly extravagant or anything, while this new one is definitely more amped up in several respects, with more of a gothic, melodic, death metal-ish sort of thing going on, with a heavier focus on, like, dramatic strings and, you know, amping up the vocals with, you know, those more soaring cleans and those throaty shouts and screams. And, of course, the drums doing a lot more heavy lifting than, you know, the original song was. Again, I'm new on this, sort of new to this particular segment of their career. I forget where exactly my understanding of their career starts, so just take that with a grain of salt.
Anyway. It probably starts with Karma Code, because Closer was on Guitar Hero 3.
That's the bitch! I was trying to remember that this whole fucking time. But anyway, moving on to the next track here. So, you might be feeling a phantom pain in your fingers right now, but that is no joke, as you can indeed sense that there is new Polyphia on the horizon. Actually, I think it's Polyphia. I always go back and forth between the two. I'm still not sure which, but anyway. So, we know that they have a new album coming out soon. It's titled Remember That You Will Die. Charming. And we don't quite have a release date yet, so it's still just up in the ether. But we have this new single here called Neurotica, and I can say it's definitely the most pop-flavored Polyphia track to come down the pipeline in, like, possibly ever. Like, okay, the guitars are very, you know, super noodly. They have their complex arrangements and their chord progressions and their shreddy melodies and all. But the song is very persistently coated with these kind of sugary sweet bleep bloop synthesizers that accentuate the already very upbeat nature of the guitar melodies in a way that I can't put into genre terms, but I can only describe as, like, This is the equivalent of playing Dance Dance Revolution with a Guitar Hero controller. I realize that doesn't make sense to anyone but myself. That's just how I see it. And of course, it slaps pretty hard.
Okay, here's how I think the writing process for the song went. Okay, Tim, Scott, how many harmonics are you going to start the song with? Yes. Yeah. Now, say what you will about the math rock scene, but this is some of the most creative stuff we've heard on guitar across all the subgenres. And they do it with very little gain. And yes, there is a lot of trap infusion all over. It's just part of their sound. It's part of their sound now. And meanwhile, I am just completely mesmerized with those guitars in the video. Puts my $175 Ibanez 7-string to shame. Psst, Ibanez, hit me up.
I believe the email address is alexander@surrealresolution.com.
Yes. I will send you a demo if you need it.
Get on that, people. Ibanez, you don't know what you're missing out on. All right. So moving on to the next track here. As we've already known from a handful of episodes ago, Ozzy Osbourne is releasing a new solo album September 9th called Patient Number 9. We heard the lead single. Now we have single number 2 here, the track Degradation Rules. And this is the one that features guest contributions from Black Sabbath guitarist Tony Iommi, the first time he's ever played on one of Ozzy's solo tracks. And yeah, this definitely sounds at least 50% Black Sabbath, mostly due to Iommi's guitar influence here, with his particularly strong riffs and grooves, and some pretty sweet soloing partway through, Ozzy doing this whole Ozzy thing, and yeah, that part of the song definitely sounds very, like, Sabbath era, but the drums, meanwhile, they sound more, I guess, Ozzy solo, like, in the sense that they have a bit more dynamic heft, throwing in tons of rapid fills, triplet rhythms, all that kind of stuff. It definitely hits a bit harder than your typical Sabbath jam. And did we mention there's harmonica? Because there's harmonica. And there's still the production problem, kind of. Just.
Well, yeah, I sure wasn't expecting to hear harmonica in an Ozzy song, but I guess why not? Also, this song was a lot better when Green Day wrote it in 1994 and it was called Longview.
Well, you know, that's one way of putting it.
Yeah, because the lyrical content is, just to listen to Longview instead. But yes, the Iommi solo is a nice treat, but it doesn't really make up for the fact that Ozzy is singing a song about someone jerking off in their bedroom. Yeah, once again, it was better when Green Day wrote it and it was called Longview.
Oh, the 90s. Yeah, that one had better production. Anyway, speaking of that production, that sucks. So, yeah, last time we checked in on Muse, they were apparently trying to, I'm not even sure. I guess they were trying to go through their, oh, look at us, we could be slightly heavier than normal thing. Now we have word that there's a new album of theirs coming out August 26th called Will of the People. And we have a new single here, Kill or Be Killed. And, man, they're really dedicated to the illusion, aren't they? So, first off, the main, like, I guess chorus riffs, or I guess the bridge, or whatever you would call it. Yeah, that part is very nu metal-y, kind of in a vague, I don't know, it kind of sounds like Static X to me. And not in a good way. Then again, I never really liked Static X to begin with, so, shoulder shrug. And, you know, throughout the song, you get guitar chugs aplenty, a decent dose of double kick from the drums, you get a very shreddy, tap-laden guitar solo, Matt Bellamy's vocals still ring at the exact right frequency to piss me off, and, God, this production just bugs the shit out of me. Like, the guitars sound okay-ish for the most part, nothing special, but those drums just... Like, when you listen to metal drumming, you want something that sounds like, at least if we're talking, like, a band on this scale, you want it to sound big. You want it to hit hard. You want it to have punch and oomph and just sound big. And this just sounds really cheap for what it's going for. Far from the ideal for any kind of decent metal drumming. And, yeah, that's basically my way of saying this song not good.
Okay, I'm pretty sure this entire Muse album was just made as an excuse after Matt Bellamy found out that 7-string guitars exist. So far, all I've heard from this album is Baby's first 7-string song, which... anyway, yeah, this weird infusion of, like, heavier guitars with pop tropes just feels... It's not meshing at all that well to me. You can either go super heavy guitar or Paul McCartney-inspired pop. You can't really mix both. It just feels... It's like trying to... Well, I'll bring it back around to our intro. Putting pink sauce on fried chicken.
Oh, God. Yeah. I hate how much that fits as a metaphor.
Yeah, it does not mesh all that well. Oh, also, Matt, I can do a death growl up into the microphone, too. It's not that special.
Yeah, that was some weak shit. Like, bro. Bro, come on. Are you even trying? Fucking Matt. Anyway, on to the next song here, which is the one moment where I suppose we can actually pull Mark out of his corner and let him speak.
Mark, get over here, man.
All right.
So, about one of our favorite female rappers in the at the moment. Don't ever go nasty. No, not to your whack. Megan Thee Stallion.
Hell yeah.
She has another single out. And this the weirdest title, or at least the most awkward title, is called Pressurelicious.
Huh.
Right? And it features...
Who is it?
It features Future.
Oh! I'm still mad about that Rolling Stone album list, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Although, to be fair, it ain't the worst I ever make it work with.
Yeah.
Later. And to say, for the song overall, it just sounds, you heard Megan sing a song before, right? Like, it's basically her fun about, you know, her hot girl shit, which is fine. Like, the beat sounds very, you know, basic. Like, it just sounds like a typical trap sound. The typical trap sound, which is like, okay. I mean, it's being produced by somebody named Hit Kid. Which I'm guessing not like the Hit Boy.
I guess there's multiple youths running around of the Hit variety.
Yeah, I was like, the song is. I get what it's going for. I know what it's going for. I mean, is it one of her, like, I'd say it's one of her lesser. You know, songs that is, oh, it's fine. I'm just not going back to it as much. Like, it's something that I say I wouldn't go back to as much. Oh yeah, also Future's dead too. Whatever. I don't care. Again, I don't care for Future.
None of us care for Future. But at the very least, Megan is here and in, well, more memorable top form shape than whatever Sweetest Pie was. Also, I have to spotlight my favorite lyric. I'm stomping on hoes so motherfucking hard, I'm knocking out Mario tokens.
Ha!
A+, no notes.
Okay, yeah, that was funny. Yeah, that was good.
But now that we have that out of the way, we can finally get to the last song of the week. The main event. Hell yeah, bitches, it is time. We now know goddamn well that the back half of the year is not going to be lacking for at least one potential Album of the Year contender. For you see, we have been graced by the presence of the Masked Men in Slipknot. Looks like we're not going to have to wait too much longer, although a bit longer than originally projected, because I think Corey said that they wanted to have a new album out by April, but this one is coming a bit later in the year, but that's okay, because better late than never. So, The newly announced album from the guys in Slipknot is titled The End So Far, likely a nod to the fact that, according to statements from the band, more specifically Sean Cran, they will likely be parting with Roadrunner Records after the release of this album. This, you know, presumably fulfills the full scope of their initial contract and everything. Kind of weird to think that Roadrunner will be without one of their top acts, and now that I think about it, where do they go after this? You know, assuming they can't renegotiate a contract or something. Mysterious.
You know, I keep forgetting when I heard Roadrunner. I was like, that's like the biggest name I heard in like in, you know, more, you know, more rock metal, you know, metal music. Like, that's a name I always see a lot when it comes to, you know, in that genre. It's like, wait a minute, like, damn, they.
Yes, this is true. Let's go with that. And like I said, Slipknot's one of their biggest cash grabs, so without them, what happens? But, yeah, so, additionally, it's worth noting this is probably the quickest turnaround between Slipknot albums we've had in a while, because just 3 years ago, we had We Are Not Your Kind, compared to the 5 year gap between 0.5 and We Are Not Your Kind. Although, this is roughly comparable to the wait between Iowa and Volume 3, because that was also a 3 year wait. Of course, the lineup is still, well, as it is following the departure of Chris Fenn following lawsuit bullshit. Although, at least now we know that the quote unquote tortilla man replacing him is named Michael Pfaff, who used to be a member of Cran's side project, Dirty Little Rabbits. So, of course, with that setup, now we have to talk about the single that we have here, The Dying Song, parentheses, Time to Sing. Actually, one more thing, the last single that we heard, Chapel Town Rag, that will indeed be a part of this album. So, after a brief vocal intro from, but what does Corey Taylor think about the new Slipknot album? Of course, the band launches full steam ahead, chugging those nice triplet riffs and hammer-on pull-off chords and note progressions, eking out these eerie, ominous lead melodies at points, very, you know, laying it down as well as they always do. Of course, Jay still keeps things, you know, fast and furious on the kit with a ton of those pummeling tom fills, rapid driving rhythms, as well as his penchant for, like, halftime grooves and those typical, like, you know, Slipknot complicated sticking patterns. There's even a bit more prominent bass than usual in the song, from the rhythmic accentuation of that marching band drumroll bridge to even this little, like, sweet bass lick that kind of precedes the song's guitar solo. The structure and flow overall are pretty much Slipknot lead single, in the sense that it has, like, you know, that balance of aggro heaviness while still having, like, super catchy melodies and choruses. A good way to introduce, you know, the album in general, and of course, has this fan hyped for September 30th.
First off, guitar solos! Kind of. Thank God! They were surely missed from the last album. Yeah, for here, the structure is great and grooving. The blend of Corey's harsh and clean vocals is always great to hear. This does feel like a great blend of, quote-unquote, modern Slipknot being harnessed to, in prime form for their supposed Roadrunner Swan song, and evidently it's not being produced with Greg Fiddleman. It's being produced with Joe Baresi, moving up from mixing to producing, so good luck with all that.
Hear, hear. So, yeah, we'll of course see where that all plays out. September, that's 2 months away. I can definitely wait. And, so, now that all the new song discussion is done, we're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, we have a couple of news topics here, so stay tuned. And we are back. We only have two news topics to discuss here, so first, let's go down to my neck of the swamp, where, let's be honest, I'm pretty sure this is where most of Pink Sauce's sales comes from, because Florida. So, this past weekend was, of course, the Miami iteration of the Rolling Loud Festival. You know, they have their festivals in a handful of places, Miami being one of them. There was already some rumblings about some, you know, instability in the lineup, namely that Kanye West, you know, dropped out of the festival or was, like, kicked off for reasons. I don't know. I don't really care about that part. And was replaced by Kid Cudi, which I'm sure had to feel like a knife in the arm for reasons. But it's Kanye, so who cares?
Evidently, some people did.
Yeah, so what happened was Kid Cudi went, you know, to do his set at Rolling Loud. He got up to the fourth song of his overall set, a song called Revo Fev. And apparently, at least according to video captured of the, you know, set and everything, apparently someone in the crowd threw a water bottle and succeeded at hitting him square in the face. You know, in theory, I should chew this out as a disruption of a concert, but wow, right for the face. I'm impressed. That takes some pretty... That has to take effort in aiming.
That's, yeah, that's some good aim there, but still...
Still a dick there, move to do to anyone.
Yeah, still a dick move, like...
But wait! Like, there's more! You thought the dickiness couldn't get even more dickish. But there are dicks aplenty. It's like a gay porno in that regard. After he got hit in the face, he says, at least quoting from the Variety piece here, "Yo, I will walk off this stage if you all throw one more fucking thing up here. I will leave. I will leave right now. Throw one more fucking thing on this stage and I'll walk off. I'm not fucking playing. I'm not fucking playing. You'll ruin it for everybody. I'll fucking leave if I get hit with one more fucking thing. If I see one more fucking thing on this fucking stage, I'm leaving. Don't fuck with me." And honestly, the amount of fucking he says here kind of reads like, you know, bad fan translations of anime and manga from the 2000s. Where there's tons of cursing. And then immediately another water bottle was thrown at him.
And of course he left. Which I don't blame him.
Yeah.
That shit was rude as fuck. Like, all this because Jesus Christ wasn't there. Oh, wait. Except, he was there, but he was performing a set with a little Dirk. He was performing that song they did with Cardi B.
Oh, damn, right.
Yeah. And if all that wasn't enough, you had fucking whack job Antonio Brown show up to, quote-unquote, perform.
Wait, what's the football player?
Yes, the football player who has a rap album on the side. It's terrible. Don't listen to it.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah, and if all that wasn't enough, Future had a guest of his own. Travis Scott.
Seriously? No. Even after that whole thing with the last festival show he played?
Seriously.
Okay, so on top of the cutting, we have a football player who's known for being crazy as shit, and he says he has a rap album. I thought we were done with the whole sports stars doing rap albums thing. I thought that shit was played out. And then if you bring on Travis Scott, who of course y'all remember the whole Astroworld fiasco.
God, yeah, that whole thing. Ooh. I wonder how any of those lawsuits are progressing, by the way.
Yeah, are they trying to top last year's rollout in terms of bullshit happening? And in case you forgot what happened last year at the rollout, remember the baby? Remember him? He had a career, or at least a pop star career. He says some homophobic shit, and of course people are not feeling that, and of course you know controversial all that shit.
Oh shit! Right. I was trying to remember what festival he decided to torch his career on. Of course it'd be in fucking Miami.
Did you just say, fucking, what, it's like that even higher? Okay.
Yeah. The moral of the story is good things don't happen at Rolling Loud Miami. Only bad things. But anyway, moving on to the last topic here. So, you might remember a while back, I think last year to be exact, we got a documentary film on HBO Max about everyone's favorite disaster piece of a festival, Woodstock 99. And not content to let them be the one talking all the glory, Netflix has decided that they're producing their own Woodstock 99 docuseries. It is appropriately titled Clusterfuck Woodstock 99. It's going to be a 3-part series. And, so that's a thing. According to executive producer Tom Pearson, he summed it up in a statement to Netflix as, "This documentary series explores the societal, cultural, and economic triggers that led to the festival descending into a total clusterfuck. This is an epic, universal story of nostalgia, hubris, greed, and generational schism, told from the point of view of those on the front lines." Sure, Jan.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing. I'm not going to say no to watching this because I remember when Fyre Festival happened and there were multiple documentaries on that, mainly the Hulu one and the Netflix one, and I sat through both because I couldn't get enough of that shit-stirring disaster piece. But the thing is, you're going to have a hard act to top because all of us, I'm pretty sure, saw that HBO Max documentary, and it was pretty good because, well, as I'm pretty sure Alex has made this point before, HBO is really good at documentaries like this.
Yeah. If you want more examples, they've done good documentaries on the likes of George Carlin and Super Dave Osborne. Y'all know who him. And of course, there's the incredible insanity of Class Action Park and the one they did about the Beanie Baby craze. Like, you will be horrified at the length some of these women went through just for some fucking stuffed animals.
Don't forget about McMillions.
Yes, that too.
So, yeah, I mean, maybe there'll be an angle here that wasn't glimpsed in the HBO Max one, but I kind of doubt it. I mean, have you seen what's going on with Netflix? They're fucking tanking hard. Apparently they lost like a million subscribers globally. They're, you know, making all kinds of questionable business decisions, including that whole, you have to pay an extra fee to use it in a house that's not your own, which how the hell is that even supposed to be enforced, first of all? Like, the fuck kind of whack-ass technology you got over there? Goddamn.
Yeah, but, well, look, I'm a sucker for train wreck documentary, so I'll be definitely checking this out when it drops.
Wait, did it say a date or something? Or
yeah, let me see. I think it said it's coming. Yeah, Netflix is dropping their documentary on August 3rd. So, that's next week.
Next week. All right, then. I'm going to do that. Okay, I still got Netflix for some time. Reason why I still got it because I'm just looking at some anime shit. I'm still watching Bastard.
I cannot wait for the new batch in September.
Yeah. Again, that's solely like the only thing keeping me on Netflix is a bunch of anime shit. That, Tiger and Bunny. Yeah, pretty much it. And you know this too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that pretty much does it for the news topics as well. Now we just have to go through real quickly the new album releases for the week of July 29th, 2022. Starting at the top, we have the newest project from metal band Belphegor with The Devils. From a band that is definitely having a normal one and not experiencing any controversies whatsoever, Dance Gavin Dance with Jackpot Juicer. Yeah. From the band of Montreal, we have Free Wave Lucifer Fuck. That's pretty much just how I can write it out. The actual album title is stylized super weird. But moving on, we have a brand new album from Wiz Khalifa called Multiverse. I highly doubt this is going to be part of Marvel's Phase 5. Just saying. And aside from that, we have a new project from NAV with demons protected by angels.
Oh, I can see the Not Good coming up soon.
And of course,
Not Good number 5.
And of course, we have the new last. Well, okay, certainly not least, we have the newest album from Beyonce with Renaissance, aka Let's Kick Drake While He's Down.
Yes.
Because at least I actually remember the melody from the lead single here over anything from Honestly Nevermind.
Yes,
fucking melody.
Yeah. I kind of melody to dance around the Drake's whatever the fuck he made. Like Beyonce, that's catchy. Drake is like basically what everybody else said. You hear that shit at a H&M.
Oh man, I cannot wait for Los Pollos to have to cope. But anyway, time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, Aura of Azure, where I am now talking about lights and light bulbs for some reason, because, hey, I can get RGB strips at Target for $15. Like, that's a good deal.
True, true. Mark, what about you?
Of course, on Twitter, my Tether Media, and on my site, mypipe1.com. Of course, this week, I also have the latest Aura Faction Next Gen BK Squad chapter up. Should be up, well, at the time of recording, it should be up Tuesday. Yeah.
Noted. And as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, etc. at Rob Barracuda. You can email me at robert@surreyresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Google Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up on the official YouTube channel. So subscribe, hit the bell tab so you're notified whenever new songs go up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at SurreyRezo, like us on Facebook, visit the website SurreyResolution.com for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all of that good stuff. Be sure to drop into the Discord so you can also fall down the pink sauce rabbit hole. Or possibly post about deals from the last week of Right Stuff Summer Sale. Oh my fucking god. I have my order coming in this week, and then I get paid on Friday, and then they had to go and put up the entire run of Doro Hey Doro on a discount. Oh, fuck me running sideways. Oh, yeah. I'm gonna be broke.
Damn. Oh, yeah. Speaking of that, there is the last days of the Sentai set, which I did got something out of there. It cost me $6, which, well, then again, I had much to, well, okay, technically, I think pretty much bought what I got from Sentai. Just like, yeah, I picked these two. I mean, they're cheap for $1 and one for $5, so fuck it.
Maybe I should peep over Sentai sale as well and see how much more I can drain my wallet. It's gonna be no one else's fault but my own, though. I have very little self-control. Anyway, yeah, that'll about do it for this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with more of the usual weekly business. And until next time, barbed wire keyblades, huh? Maybe I should watch independent wrestling more often.
Yes, you should. It's a fun time.